Welcome to Tech It to the Limit, the humorous and surprisingly informative podcast that makes digital innovation in healthcare as entertaining as it is relevant. I'm Sarah Harper.
And I'm Elliot Wilson. And we're here to pull back the curtain on the world of digital transformation in healthcare.
Don't worry, you don't need a medical degree to join in on the fun. Just a sense of humor and a penchant for all things health tech.
So buckle up, folks. It's time to
Tech It to the Limit.
What's up, Elliot?
What's up, Sarah? How are you? Welcome to episode 3.08. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here, too. We took a little hiatus. You know, life happens, and it's good to be back on the pod waves with you. Excited to...
I love how putting on a massively successful program at Mayo Clinic for hundreds of people is what you described as a hiatus for us.
Right. Yeah, I know. We were actually doing the pod live for a human audience that was kind of a first for us. No, I shouldn't say human, but like an IRL audience, as you would say. Right.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And it was fun because we got to be on stage together, do a live show for 450 plus people at Mayo Clinic. The Office of Belonging hosted us and we talked about what do we talk about, Elliot? We kind of like dug deep into the past and revived an old episode.
Yeah. Well, no pun intended, but everything old is new again. And so we explored the concept from our 2.08 episode, The Wonder Years, talking about generational differences and how the biases we carry with us around generations are brought with us to design for healthcare and what we can do to sort of like break free of that, right? Very queen, like, you know, I've got to break free.
Right.
And it was amazing. It was great to see you in person in Rochester, bustling Rochester.
Oh, yeah. The metropolis.
And it was great to be there on stage with you.
In a cornfield.
So really excited to do that.
It was a privilege. It was an honor. I hope we get an opportunity to do it again sometime. Speaking of pageantry and, you know, healthcare technology, the biggest one of the year is coming up, right? The biggest healthcare tech pageant the year, of the season.
Pageant is such a great way to explain it, too. You must be talking about the health conference coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yes.
Right? I mean, what else could you be talking about? Yeah. And it's so exciting, though, because Tech It to the Limit is going there as a media partner with health. We're so excited to be there and really hoping to do a lot of catching up with thought leaders around health tech, maybe do some spicy nugs segments, man on the street kind of interviews. Really excited to catch a bunch of people and get some real live thoughts. And I'm sorry that you're not going to be with me this time around, but you'll be there in spirit.
I will be in spirit. Hologram.
I will be bringing all of you with me as we go.
The way you gestured, it made it look like you're going to be wearing me like some sort of jacket. I just want to clarify for the listeners that he doesn't
put the lotion on his skin. No, yeah. I don't. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. No, no, no. No, but I will feel you around me like a warm blanket. That was meant to symbolize. But
cozy, hygge.
It's going to be a great conference. I'm so excited to do it. They have some amazing speakers. They've got, you know, they've got Greg Adams from KP, which I'm sure will be a very interesting conversation. Coming from your neck of the woods, they've got Dr. Mickey Tripathi from the Chief AI Implementation Officer at Mayo, which should
awesome.
Be really excited. I'm really looking forward to hearing him speak. And then someone else who I've worked with in the past and really enjoy hearing from, Roberta Schwartz from HM. She'll be on stage with Mark Boom from HM, Houston Methodist, that is. Schwartz and Boom.
Sounds like a mesh presser and Spence. It's like a law firm.
Turner and Hooch, or like, I was thinking like Tango and Cash. You know, Schwartz and Boom. But, you know, to top it all off, I mean, they've got the name of names. I mean, they secured a big get. Oprah Winfrey is going to be speaking at it. And I'm kind of really curious as to what her take on digital health tech is going
to
be.
Definitely check under your seat to see what prize you win. Okay.
Yeah, right. You get a health app and you get a health app and you get a health app. Right.
But I wanted a portal.
Yeah, that's what we all wanted. It was another portal.
A wearable, maybe.
they got some really cool tracks. They've, you know, some ones you would expect, AI and emerging tech and, you know, new innovations in diagnostics. But they're also one of the things I love about health and sort of like the parent company vibe is they always try and bring patient voices forward. So there's a whole patient voices track. And then over the last couple of years, they've really been elevating nurses' voices, which I love. And I think I'm hoping they have a nurses' pavilion. I think they will. But they're doing like a nurse hackathon. So really excited about the tracks.
Yeah.
And
nurses
as
are going to save us from Russia.
And as per usual, there's the Digital Health Hub Awards, which is what a great feature. This is my third year judging that. I really loved my categories this year. I got to judge in AI in operations, AI in patient care, clinical diagnostic devices, and health equity, which were all really fantastic topics to see both the rising stars and the best in class in this award show.
Word up.
And then, you know, it wouldn't be health without like their hook, their gimmick, their shtick. Mm-hmm. And so the motif this time around is heroes and legends. And so there's like, it's all about Greek mythology. And so all the stages are named after Greek, you know, gods and goddesses and such. And I'm, you know, really, I'm just hoping that the Pride at Health happy hour, you know, has all the wait staff in togas. That's my hope this year.
Yes. Short and seam togas.
But nice. if you're interested, listeners, to catching up with the pod with Tech It to the Limit while down there, maybe catch up with us for an interview or something like that. Check us out at techittothelimit.fun/health. That's techittothelimit.fun/HLTH. And you can see information about where we're going to be and reach out to us and connect with us down at Health. Can't wait to see you there.
Bring your mics. Or bring your mic, Elliot.
I will bring my mic.
Everyone else, bring your A game.
Bring your A game. They do. It's a great conference.
Yeah.
But I think right now we're going to be starting a new game in a minute, yeah?
Heck yeah. Very excited to, with this episode, The Wonder Years, The Redux. We're going to be going deeper into this topic of generational differences and similarities across health tech adoption. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, listeners, to Tech It to the Limit. Breaking news, breaking headlines here, Sarah. Boomers are not allergic to patient portals, and Gen Z is not marrying their Fitbits. And
what
is that? One size fits all design? Still a fashion disaster in health tech.
Oh my gosh, Elliot, that truly is shocking. In other news, we have more headlines coming across the ticker. Younger generations actually do care about privacy. And digital health, it's not just 10,000 steps and six-pack selfies at the gym. It's personalized patient education, caregiver support, and managing real conditions with empathy. Who knew?
Yeah, right? I mean, although I am a fan of the six packs in the gym, but
let's be honest, who isn't?
We caught a fever, and the only prescription is myth busting. That's
yes, a little Christopher Walken reference for all of you millennials. You know, you know.
I don't know. How was my, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can do a Christopher Walken impression, but you know, but anyway, that's right. It's time to play a new game. Fact check fever.
Ooh, that sounds fun. Elliot, I'm assuming this is where we separate fact from fiction, myth from reality,
yes,
portal from poppycock, bite from BS. So we're going to play rapid style. Are you ready?
I am ready as a boomer is for retirement. Lay it on me.
All right. I'll kick us off and then we'll take turns. Fact or fiction, Elliot? Older adults don't use smartphones for healthcare.
Fiction. In fact, the Pew Research Center's 2024 survey found that about 76% of people 65 and older own a smartphone. And a JAMA Health Forum study by Levine and colleagues in 2022 showed telehealth use among people in their 70s increased fourfold during COVID.
I wonder if it's because they're seeking healthcare. So, translation, Nana's on FaceTime with her doctor while you're still on hold with IT. All right, my turn.
All right. Factor fever. Millennials are burned out because of EHRs.
I'm going to call fever/fiction on that one. According to the Mayo Clinic Proceedings paper from 2020, led by Melnick and colleagues, they found that burnout is tied to EHR usability and workflow burden, not age. Shocking. Yeah.
What?
Doctors with the worst usability scores had 2.5 times higher odds of burnout.
Oh, my gosh. Like millennials, man. Born to swipe, cursed to document. Such a shame.
Gen Z uses social media for medical advice.
Fact. In fact, a 2024 McKinsey study found about 38% of Gen Z rely on social media platforms like TikTok for health information, which compared with boomers is a lot more. So boomers are at about 10% and Gen Z at about 38% for those social media platforms.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So basically you're saying cardiologist is rolling her eyes in 4K.
No, what I'm saying is Gen Z is watching their cardiologist roll their eyes in 4K.
There you go. There you go. Love it. Love it.
All right, you ready?
My turn. Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Fact or fever, Sarah. Designing for older adults is a waste because they don't use technology anyway.
Hmm, I think I've heard this one before. Fever. Pew, pew, research report.
Gotta get a pew, pew sound effect every time we bring up a pew study.
Yeah, the Pew Research 2024 report shows that 3 in 4, that's 75%, for all you fractioners out there, 3 in 4 older adults are online and roughly the same on smartphones. But the real barrier isn't willingness to use tech. It's usability and accessibility for all age groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stop blaming age. Blame your clunky login screen and your terrible user experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm card abandoning this thing. That's still a thing. Like in the digital age, you can card abandon, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. All right, you're
Hit
up.
Me. Hit me.
Factor fever. Younger clinicians document faster because they're more tech savvy.
Fever. Poor EHR usability slows everybody down. Mm-hmm. A JAMA Network open study in 2018 by Ratwani linked bad design to safety risks. And Melnick's Mayo Clinic proceedings paper in 2020 tied it directly to burnout across generations.
Hmm. Turns out everybody types slow in a bad system.
Mm-hmm. Why are we typing at all?
Yeah. And I want to double down on that bad design leads to safety risks.
Yeah.
If that's the case for medical device design, why wouldn't it be for digital platforms, EHRs, et cetera?
Right?
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, come on, people.
All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z prefers texting over all other forms of patient communication.
I'm going to say hesitant fact or fact with nuance. Accenture's 2023 Digital Health Consumer Survey and a 2023 study from the Journal of Medical Internet Research, Formative Research. Apparently, they have multiple journals.
Yeah.
A study by Shen and colleagues showed that Gen Z prefers asynchronous messaging, but only if it's fast, transparent, and human. So they don't want to be bot texted, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So not the auto reply that says, someone will be back to you in 3 to 5 business days.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, such a dissatisfier.
Yeah, text stop to stop these messages. I think that's interesting, though, because, right, the better agents get at responding to people as humans, I wonder how much that will change. Because if you can't tell the difference as to whether or not you're texting asynchronously with a bot or a human, you know, does it really matter? I'm curious about that.
No.
So
I mean, sounds like a fun game show. Bot or not.
Bot or
not. And you're the next contestant on Bot or Not.
Bot or not.
Mr. Wilson, can you guess if this is a real human agent behind the decision tree?
Botulette number one. Can you describe your perfect date?
Oh my God, this is so good. Okay, let's get back on track. We're not done
with
this game.
Yes, hit me.
Okay? Older adults reject AI decision support because they don't trust it. Fact or fever?
Fever. The 2024 National Poll on Healthy Aging found that 74% of older adults reported little or no trust in AI health information at first, but trust improves with explanation.
Hmm.
And Sejin's 2024 study in humanities and social sciences communication said the exact same thing. It's transparency and explainability, not age. And that, again, goes across generations.
I mean, Sejin knows best, right? Good old Sejin.
Best. Sejin.
Grandpa just wants to know what the robot's thinking. And honestly, so do I.
That's right. Me too. I want to know what's on the going on the mind of my Roomba. All right, Sarah, are you ready?
Damn, what was that I just sucked up? That's what your room was thinking. Was that chocolate? No.
I do have two young kids and two dogs.
Oh, man, that sounds like a fun game. What's in your Roomba?
Is this chocolate?
I feel like we have had this discussion before on the pod. All right, we're so right. close. It's like
a right. couple more left.
Game.
All right, here's yours.
Okay.
Gen X and boomers avoid patient portals because they're less motivated.
Ah, yes. The lazy lost generation. Everybody knows them. Fever. Okay. Research shows that usability and literacy matter more than motivation. A 2024 study in the Journal of Medical Internet Research on Aging. See, I told you they have like 20 publications by Juan and colleagues. And also a 2020 study in the same journal by Irizarry, both found that when you simplify the design, older adults log in like pros.
Yeah, it's not a motivation gap. It's like, who invented this dumpster fire gap?
Right? Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure that the names of these authors were written by an LLM.
Let's
just
find
to trip
out,
us
shall
up.
We? Yeah, well, let's challenge our listeners to go fact check us, shall
Ooh,
we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do our own fact love checking that. On this show. We have a little dueling LLM method, but we'd love to be fact checked and by our listeners because it means you're engaged.
Bring it.
And you're holding us accountable, right?
Bring it. And you bring it. Hit me with my next one.
Oh, yeah. Millennials, okay? Our favorite generation. The greatest
so
generation.
Great. The greatest generation.
Millennials are the best at spotting online medical misinformation. The best. Okay.
The best.
Fever or factor fever?
Oh, it's fiction.
Ooh. Okay.
A 2024 PNAS meta-analysis by Brasher and colleagues covering 31 studies found that every generation struggles with misinformation. And what really matters are digital literacy skills and cognitive reflection. You know, thinking critically about what you've just read.
Oh my God. So education matters? Who to funk it, right? Equal opportunity gullible. Also, I would like someone to fact check us on the pronunciation of the acronym PNAS.
It will forever be PNAS in my mind.
Okay, all right. Hit me with the last shot.
All right, you got it. Okay. All right. Anti-woke AI will make tech more neutral.
Maybe just less woke. Fever. Okay, a 2023 Nature Medicine, I've heard that's a pretty reputable journal, article by Chen and colleagues said that ignoring bias just buries it deeper in the algorithm. Kind of like my feelings. Also in 2024, the AMA's Principles for AI Ethics in Medicine, another reputable organization led by doctors, emphasized that equity has to be intentionally built into algorithms.
Yes. Intentionality. So yeah, Grok, congrats. Your neutral AI just learned to discriminate quietly.
Yeah, neutral. Like I'm air quoting it right now for y'all that aren't watching on YouTube. Okay, that's it, listeners. Facts checked, fevers busted, assumptions roasted. It's time to move on to our next segment after this message from one of our fake sponsors.
We'll be right back.
Today's episode of Tech at the Limit is brought to you by Patient Portal Plus+. Are you tired of logging in just once? We were too. That's why we invented the revolutionary new system that lets you log in to log in to log in again. Because nothing says patient empowerment like 17 layers of authentication before you even see your own lab results. With Patient Portal Plus+, you'll enjoy features like CAPTCHAs that make you identify 97 blurry traffic lights for safety. Password rules requiring at least 2 hieroglyphs, 1 haiku, and the blood of your firstborn. And coming soon, emotional support pop-ups reminding you that your session is timed out. But wait, there's more. Call 1-800-ON-HOLD in the next 10 minutes and get our bonus feature. Forms you filled out online automatically reformatted so you can fill them out again on paper in the waiting room. visit www.triplelogin.biz and use promo code password 1234 for one free security question you'll never remember the answer to. Patient Portal Plus Plus, putting the patient in patiently waiting to get through your own healthcare data. Not FDA approved, not even IT approved. May cause confusion, sarcasm, or sudden rage. Welcome back to Tech It to the Limit, listeners. Thanks for sticking around this long. We've got more great content coming up for you. While myth busting is fun, it's time to break for sincerity, you know, on Tech It to the Limit.
Are you calling me insincere? Come now.
Yeah, right. Well, occasionally we can be a little goofy. But let's get serious for just a minute. We know generational labels are a blunt instrument when it comes to health tech design. What matters for digital health adoption, and we know we're not talking about adopting little app babies, right? We're talking about getting people to use the expensive, shiny tools that we're designing, right? And actually engage, as you say. Digital health adoption is dependent upon three things. We know capability, motivation, and context. Now, I want you to stick with me here, Elliot, okay?
Okay.
I want you to picture a Venn diagram. And if you don't know what that is, okay, let me she-splain it to you. It's the one with three circles that overlap in the middle, okay?
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That sweet spot in the center, that's where real tech engagement lives. So whether you're defining value and outcomes improvement, swipes, or dollar signs, the CMC framework, capability, motivation, context, should be your North Star in this epic quest for health tech value.
Yeah, I love it. I love this framework, this CMC framework. So let's talk about the different circles. And by the way, I love a good Venn diagram. I mean, there's like
Zepino.
Charts that explain relationships between things and how good Venn diagrams are. And it's a singular circle. That's how.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on point right there. That's an
right.
Eclipse. All right.
So first off, yeah. So let's talk about it. So the first circle we're talking about capability, right? So this is all about the skills, access, and literacy, and that's not just physical, you know, ability or skills or ability to access. It's also cognitive ability. So imagine that circle filled with things like, can I physically use this device? Can I hold it? Can I touch it? Am I able to interact with it? Do I need some other kind of user interface? But access-wise, do I have broadband? Do I need something special in order to take advantage of this that I might not otherwise have access to?
Mm-hmm.
Is the UI in my first language, right? A lot of times, you know, we bake out, you know, English and, you know, if you're feeling frisky, maybe a bit of Spanish, but, you know, how deep do you go in your ability to build out the user experience in a person's native tongue?
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, two people from the same age may land in very different places according to those, you know, those different elements of their capability.
Mm-hmm.
So think about...
Give me an example.
Yeah. So think about two 70-year-olds. Like, so one is this retired engineer, this computer engineer who tinkers with Raspberry Pis. Maybe they built themselves a retro gaming console, like the one I have that plays every old game that you can imagine, every old arcade game on a Raspberry Pi. And they do fun, right?
Right.
And then another 70-year-old, like my mother. And...
Hi, Mom.
And, you know, with almost no prior tech exposure, and maybe she lives, you know, out in the sticks and has really spotty internet connection. They're the same age, mm-hmm. but they're going to have radically different capabilities. And they are bringing that to the table when using what you're designing.
No, I love that. Thank you for breaking it down into sort of patient-specific examples. I think that really helps solidify this concept for our listeners. So I'm going to take a stab at the second circle of motivation, probably the most difficult one to solve for since it's outside of the locus of control of anyone except the user. But this is about personal goals inherent within that individual. It's about a sense of urgency with an intrinsic motivation, right? And the perceived value of that tool or experience that you want them to engage with. If somebody doesn't see a reason to log in, they're not going to, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, picture a 22-year-old who ignores their portal until they have a health scare And you compare that to a 65-year-old with diabetes, and they have a nice Medicare Advantage plan. So they're going to check their blood sugars and their lab results every day and brag about it at bingo, right? Motivation can turn on a dime. It's like a switch that flips between maybe later and or I'm all in. I need to be all in, right?
Yeah.
Show me where I shine.
I just want to go back to my mother as an example, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
hi, Linda. Maybe I shouldn't have said that on the air.
It's fine.
Okay.
Hi, Mom. In terms of motivation, right? And how, you know, situational motivation can be. Mm. So we were vacationing. I had ordered them an Uber to come get me, to come over to me. And they wanted to walk back to their hotel. And so I left them. I went to bed. I took my kids. I went to bed. I didn't want to see them again until the next day. And it started to pour. And they had never downloaded or used Uber ever before. But they're like, well, it brought us over here. I'm sure we can figure out how to do it to get back. And so they downloaded the app. They, you know, put in their credit card. They hailed an Uber for the first time ever because their motivation changed in that moment.
Right.
And they were very proud of it, by the way. They told me that it was the first thing that they wanted to talk about in the morning when my dad called me to say, asked what time we were getting breakfast. You want to say, oh, and your mother wants to tell you something. And she got on the phone and was like, I downloaded Uber. She was so excited.
I love it. Scout's honor. And you know what? I love this story, Elliot, because it really bleeds into the next circle, which you're going to explain for our listeners, which is context, because all these circles sort of ebb and flow and influence one another over time, mm-hmm. right? So your folks' motivation changed because the context changed slightly for them as well.
Right.
It started raining, right?
That's right.
So tell us a little bit more about context
and
what that means for our users.
So when we're talking about contents, we're literally talking about the environment that we are in as users, right? It's everything from our socioeconomic status, our support systems, the trust in the institution of healthcare that we're bringing, our life circumstances, and then also the life circumstances or the lived experience of the community of which I am a part. So like asking yourself, like, do I have a caregiver that helps me? Do I live in a broadband desert? Do I even trust this health system with my data? Context is able to be a bridge or a barrier. Mm-hmm. And so even the most motivated and capable person will still struggle if there are contextual barriers to their goals.
Right.
I bring this with me when I utilize healthcare as a member of the LGBTQIA community, right? Mm-hmm. The shared experience of interaction with healthcare and my community is with me when I go to the doctors. And the experience of shame that I have felt in the treatment by providers in the past are with me when I seek out treatment from providers in the future. And that's mm-hmm. all part of my context.
I love that. It's such a good example. Very relatable for a lot of our listeners. So thank you for sharing that. I want to kind of tie this all together.
Please.
These overlapping circles, right? So for listeners, if you could bear with us for a little bit. Yeah, it's a nice little bow, right? Picture these overlapping circles. We're going to kind of go around the diagram. Top circle's capability, okay? And then the following one is motivation. Where those two meet, where they intersect, you've got people that could use the tool. They're capable and they want to. They're motivated. But they're going to stumble without the right context, right? As you've described. Where capability and context meet, you have like infrastructure in place and the users have skills, okay? But maybe they're not motivated, so that tool is going to sit unused, right? And then when you have motivation and context overlapping, but no capability, you have users that want it, they're motivated, they've got the support they need contextually. But if the design stinks,
right.
Okay, or it doesn't match their skills or abilities, adoption is going to totally fall off a cliff, right? And by adoption, we can replace that with engagement, use, you name it, right?
I love how you bring that together where, you know, because it's a three-legged stool, right? And it doesn't stand.
Love it.
It doesn't stand when you take away one of those legs. And
metaphors.
I love metaphors. The other really cool thing about a three-legged stool, it's self-leveling. It's much harder to level out a four-legged stool than a three-legged stool. Sorry, I'm an amateur woodworker.
Okay.
So
yeah, I was just going to say, this sounds like a hobbyist. I'm sure in the conversation.
sorry.
I love it. Yeah, I know. It's good.
But I love that you went into what does it look like when you have these two, but not this one? What does it look like when you have this one? And not, those examples are, mm-hmm. are great. And I think what we need to strive for is like that part of the Venn diagram that's right in the middle where all three of those overlap: capability, motivation, context. That's the sweet spot. That's where mm-hmm. adoption takes hold and actually sticks. And that it sticks across generations. I think that's the broad point that we're trying to make here. It's not about being a boomer or a zoomer or X or alpha or the best of all of them, you know, Gen Y. Millennials. But it's because the design matched their reality. And you'll probably find people that are closer together across generations due to their cancer diagnosis and their cancer journey than you would necessarily all boomers as a monolith or all of Gen Alpha behaving in the exact same way. So that's the real takeaway here for me.
Absolutely. I love that, that sort of the diagnosis can be a great unifier, or what's bringing them into that to engage with that technology is a unifier, those shared goals, right? So let's recap the three factors: CMC, capability, motivation, context. It predicts health tech adoption far better than somebody's birth year. So let's say adios to the myths, please. And instead of designing for a specific generation of users in mind, and design with your users. And that should be multi-generational, right? Design with belonging in mind. That's where inclusive innovation is really going to happen. And I think it's easy to kind of just say, oh, like design with your users. But like, what do we mean by that? Let's really break it down for our listeners, right? Like we kind of talked about this at Mayo Clinic at the Everybody In talk last week. Mm-hmm. How does one go about designing with their users? Like, how do you operationalize that?
We got to find them, right? You got to find them.
Right? Are you a user?
Are you a user? Are you a user? No, I mean, but you've got to go where they are, right? They're not going to come to you. You've got to go seek them out. That's number one. And then you've got to do the scary thing, which is go talk to them and give up. So, and here's where I think it's actually hard when you're talking about change management for how we design. I think what's really hard is giving up a little bit of the control of your design.
Ah,
there's a pride factor that needs to be overcome. And like, I know what I want. I know what I want this to look like. I know what it's supposed to do. And you may have your perspective, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to get, and I'm holding this up because I'm using the straw example that we've talked about before on this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can see the world through your straw, but you need to go find the other straws to band them together to see a more cohesive, or sorry, a more complete picture.
Right.
But I mean, it's literally about going to patient panels, looking at support groups and folk and groups online. You got to go source these people if you're going to be designing mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah. And I think speaking from a health systems perspective, you know, given my line of work, you bring this awesome like industry expertise with you, Elliot, and given the clients that you engage with outside of the pod. Like I work within a health system. And I think times we sometimes fall into this systems thinking trap, right? Where we are inundated with problems, right? Like, because we are working within a very complex ecosystem in healthcare. And as health systems, we're trying to grow and retain our workforce, right? We're trying to take care of physician and nurse well-being. We're trying to monitor and improve safety and quality and all these things. And also we're operating on razor thin margins, right? In a highly regulated environment. Mm-hmm. So we have plenty to solve for as health systems. And occasionally, I shouldn't say it, more often than not, we tend to focus on what problems are most important to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really critical that we are bold and we go out there and we figure out ways to say, hey, patients.
Yeah.
Hey, nurses. Hey, people, we want to use this technology. Can you come and design it with us?
Yes,
and
right.
By the way, are we designing the right thing?
Yes.
Is this the biggest problem you have in your day-to-day?
Oh,
experience?
You nailed it. I was thinking that exact question, right?
Yeah.
I think it was Elizabeth Boudreau from a couple of episodes ago that said, it's like, ask the question, what is the hardest part of your day? And then solve for that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely go check out. This is episode 3.08. Check out episode 3.06 with Elizabeth Boudreau. She has a great story about, we're thinking about Dr. Harrington, right? One of our guests about the parking, who is it?
Oh, that was Katie Boston Leary.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm conflating all these genius fembots.
I know. We had some really great fembosses on the
Katie
on
Lewis O'Leary. Go check out her episode. Anyway, you get the idea, folks. Just talk to the people that you're designing for. I think that's a direct Boudreaux quote.
That's right. That's right.
Now it's time for you to stop listening to our endless pontificating about capability, motivation, and context, listeners. And hear a hilarious message from one of our fake sponsors. We'll be right back.
Tech It to the Limit is brought to you by Biasfocals, the first perspective-altering augmented reality optical interface. We take steps to protect ourselves in all kinds of ways. You wear bifocals so you can read the menu. You squint at your kid's Roblox screen. You pretend to understand TikTok. But what are you doing to protect yourself from generational bias? With Biasfocals, you can safeguard your perspective by seeing the world exactly as other generations see it. When you wear Biasfocals, you can switch between multiple layers of generational modules and misunderstanding to ensure your worldview stays hopelessly conflicted. With Boomer Vision, you get access to landline nostalgia, a newsfeed curated exclusively from chain emails, and a free trial membership to Kids These Days rants. Millennial Myopia offers avocado toast AR overlays, a mortgage pre-approval that will never arrive, and the crushing awareness that you'll never retire as you constantly live through unprecedented times. Gen Z Zoomies includes attention spans under 7 seconds, meme-based emotional expression, and a bonus filter that makes you suspicious of anyone who still uses Facebook. And with our new family plan, Biasfocals also covers Gen Alpha, which means every object in your field of vision now belongs to you. Biasfocals offers real-time perspective switching. Toggle instantly between back in my day, we can't afford that, and slay queen. Tech It to the Limit listeners get 50% off your first pair of Biasfocals when you visit biasfocals.com/limit. That's 50% off when you go to biasfocals.com/limit. Biasfocals, because empathy is hard. Get the cheat codes.
Welcome back, listeners. It's time for Spicy Nugs Wet Hot Co-Host Edition. That's right. You heard it here first. We're not doing Wise Nugs this month because we didn't have a wise guest on. We're stuck with your two wise co-hosts.
Or wise cracking co-hosts.
Wise cracking co-hosts. And so we're skipping the Wise Nugs segment this time around. And instead of regurgitating what you just ate right back into your mouths, we are going to feed you some fresh, hot, spicy nugs.
So appetizing.
Okay? Right? So appetizing. Not the drive-through kind, the lightning round kind. Okay?
Love it.
10 seconds, no overthinking, which is really hard for our generation. Mm. Just got instincts and bad life choices. Okay, Elliot, are you ready to sauce up some nuggets?
Yes. Yes, I want some spicy nuggets. Let's go.
All right. All right. I'm going to hit you with one. You're going to hit me with one. For our listeners, we haven't seen these questions before. Elliot, if EHRs had a theme song, what would it be?
Everybody Hurts by R.E.M.
Oh, my. Yes. OMG. OMG. That is so good. All right. You hit me with the next
All right. Ready?
Question,
okay.
Please.
Boomers, Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z. Who has the best memes?
I feel like the OG meme came from our generation. I want to take credit for that. Mm-hmm. So I always go with the OG. Gen X is really cynical and boomers are like horrid.
Yeah, no, so, they don't get not to generalize, but they just don't get it.
Yeah, and Gen Z and Gen Alpha have got their own thing going on. It's all about the reels, right?
We're not hip. We are not hip to get there.
We're Sigma, right? Sorry.
So
maybe it's sus. I can't remember.
I've got all the riz, okay?
Let's ask your husband about that. All right.
Doesn't know what Riz is. He's Gen X.
Oh my God. Oh, poor Tom.
Yeah.
He's so okay. Any hoodles.
Let's go.
Elliot, next question.
Hit me.
Would you rather get your health tips from TikTok, your grandmother, or Clippy from Microsoft Word?
I see you're trying to write a claims denial response.
Right? Would you like that in Calibri font?
I mean, honestly, is not ChatGPT just Clippy? Or I should say Microsoft Copilot just Clippy on steroids? Like, let's be honest.
Oh my God. It's, yes.
That's what it is.
It is so, so bad. Mm-hmm.
But health tips, I'm going to have to say TikTok because, and don't get me wrong, my grandma has wonderful advice, usually around like rubbing something onto something else is like the remedy.
Put some Windex on it.
Sorry.
Rub some dirt in it. You'll be fine.
Right? Stop crying.
But like TikTok, as bad as it can be, I'm lumping in like, you know, Insta Reels and other things like that into the TikTok kind of thing, because they all share across each other. Right? But, you know, reputable sources are on TikTok. You can find them.
Right.
And you can get really good information that is designed for easily digestible nuggets of wisdom around your healthcare. So TikTok all the way.
Hell yeah, snackable content like Dr. Geeta Nair from episode 2.01.
That's right.
Tech is the limit. Go check it out in the vault, folks. We talk all about snackable content on social.
For sure. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Ready.
One word to describe what happens when designers ignore older adults in tech design.
Revolution? Insurrection? No. JK, shelved, right? Like, it's just
shelved.
Not, it's shelved, right? It is not coming off the shelf.
Heck
it's,
yeah.
Or it's maybe going to stay unwrapped. It's going to be in that box that you ship it to them in.
Yeah. It's like, it's shellfish to not, to ignore older older adults in your design. It's shellfish.
OMG. That's too punny. All right, Elliot.
Go.
Which health information technology feature do you wish came with a giant nope button?
Multi-factor authentication. Somebody, please, anywhere, figure out a better multi-factor authentication than one-time passcodes. My, even though I have it set to delete them, you know, after 24 hours, the amount of text messages I have in my history of one-time passcodes drives me crazy. So please, someone, figure that out for me.
Yeah. Someone not from Russia, please.
I don't care. You know what? I don't care. It could be from Russian.
Okay.
It's fine.
There's no collusion. Okay, sorry.
All right, okay. Next question. What is the biggest tech stereotype that drives you absolutely bananas?
Tech stereotype. Well, I mean, we've covered it like ad nauseum on the show, but it's that older adults don't use portals. Older adults don't use health tech. That is absolutely false. They're the fastest growing demographic when you think about like the healthcare market writ large, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about digital transformation in our industry, we sure as heck better be designing for our older patients and
heck
with
yeah.
them.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Okay. I love it.
My turn. Great my
answer.
Turn to ask
yes.
you.
Give me.
Yeah. Lightning round is more like drizzle round. Okay. You can only keep one. Keyboard shortcuts, dark mode, voice commands. Which stays?
Oh.
As you sit on your gaming chair throne.
I know, right?
All right.
Dark mode can go. I don't use it. I don't. It's just, it's nothing for me. Does nothing for me. Ooh, voice command and keyboard. I love me some good keyboard shortcuts. I'm so much faster. If I don't have to take my hands off the keyboard and touch a mouse, I'm loving it. Voice commands can go, I think. They're not there yet. So maybe in the future, like true voice commands where I can have a natural conversation with my computer and do the things that I want it to do outside of just voice dictating into a Microsoft Word document. You know,
underwhelming.
I'm there for it. But as you know, right now we don't have it. It's not there. It's not baked in enough. So I'm going to have to stick with keyboard shortcuts. I'm going to have to control S that.
Control S. I love it. Tony Stark, straight from the mouth of babes. All right, my turn.
All right, go. Ready? If your patient portal could talk, whose celebrity voice would it have? It's such a good question.
I feel like this question, it could be so much funnier if you received it. For me, anytime I get a question like this, it's got to be Samuel L. Jackson. Like, I just want him to talk to me. Like, every morning.
Come pay your bill, mother.
Yeah, exactly. Or my GPS. Or my fridge that's like, ding, ding, ding. I'm open, you bitch. You know, I just want Samuel to yell at me.
Yes.
Till kingdom come. I feel so much better.
I think that, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't?
I mean, I think it's the Pulp Fiction. We're the Pulp Fiction generation,
we are,
right?
So, we are.
Yeah. Okay. 10 years from now, Elliot,
yeah.
Which generation will shock us the most in their use of health tech?
10 years from now? So 10 years from now, my daughter will be 18.
Mm.
So my guess is Gen Alpha for sure, because she's going to be doing things that are going to be beyond me in understanding. So I definitely think Gen Alpha all the way.
So you're predicting that you've hit your peak of capability and you're just going to be downhill from here? Like, there's no plateau for you? Like,
I'm not predicting I've hit my peak. I know I've hit my peak.
You know.
The reason I have a gaming chair is not because I game. It's because I need lumbar support for my bad back.
That's going in the trailer. Oh, my God. Okay, hit me with the last question.
All right. Can you believe it's only been 10 questions in this lightning round? Okay.
Drizzle round.
Which generation would be best at designing a game controller for an EHR?
Ooh, Gen X. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, regular NES, like, the simplicity of the regular NES is is really in its brilliance. The only problem with that was, like, the corners digging into your hands.
Right. Like, that's how you knew you were a gamer. You're like, I can't use my hands.
Now, that's a good call. Gen X. I think Gen X should design the game controller for the EHR. I think you're spot on.
Let's just hand over the keys to the medical record to the most cynical generation, right? Let's do it. Like, I feel like I trust them.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
Well, listeners, that is a wrap on the Spicy Nugs Wet Hot Co-Host Edition. Zero calories, 100% opinion, and possibly one or two lawsuits. Let's get back to the meat of today's episode before either of us gets canceled.
I don't know. Speak for yourself. I stand by my answers 100%. A lawsuit or no.
You heard it here first, folks over at, what was it, Schwartz and Boom?
Schwartz and Boom.
I love it. Well, that's all the content that we have for you. Listeners, thank you for spending another 40-ish minutes of your lives listening to absolute nonsense. Will you please follow us on LinkedIn? Leave us a review wherever you pod. Tell a friend of me. Just tell someone. Of course, smash that subscribe button. 5-star review to help the algorithms. You know the drill. Get her done. And Elliot.
And make sure you come see us at Health this year. We can't wait to see you all there.
Totes, you want to grab a spot in that booth with Elliot and his microphone before it's too late,
yeah,
right?
It's too late.
Those spots are filling fast, right? It is like prime day.
That's right.
And the deal, you see the little ticker going down, 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 down. Oh, it's gone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now strike when the iron is hot, listeners. Get your spot at Health with Elliot in the booth. Elliot, will you please send us off with our health tech haiku of the month?
There is nothing I would rather do, Sarah. All right, ready?
Ready.
Capability. Motivation. Context. First. Design for humans.
I feel a little bit dirty.
I try to do it as like what a cult leader would do. How like you know?
It really is reminiscent. It truly is. I wonder if I was in a cult and I'm having PTSD flashbacks. Anyway, excellent job. I can't remember how we end this show.
See you next time, everybody.
See you next time. Tech It to the Limit is produced by Sarah Harper
and Elliot Wilson in consultation with ChatGPT.
Because they are masochists and also don't have any sponsors.
Yet. Music was composed by the world-famous court minstrel Evan O'Donovan.
To consume more hilarious and informative content about digital transformation in healthcare, visit us online at techittothelimit.fun.
And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and across the event horizon. See you next time on
Tech It to the Limit.